Shabbat Shalom. Today is Parsha Miches, Genesis 41:1 through 44:17. Miches is Hebrew for at the end. Back up a little bit in the previous chapters, we learned that Joseph interpreted dreams of the baker and the chief butler. And remember, Joseph was in prison because he did what was right. You know, as you might recall, when he was sold into slavery, he was the head of Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife wanted him. He refused and was falsely accused and thrown into prison. And the butler and the baker had these bad dreams. And they told them to Joseph. Joseph interpreted the dreams. And as you know, the baker was executed and the chief butler was restored. Joseph asked him, remember, don't forget me, you know, when you get to Pharaoh's house. But the butler did forget about Joseph. Now the Parsha states, at the end of 2 full years. So it was 2 years after he interpreted the butler's dream, had two dreams. In the first dream, there were 7 fine-looking fat cows that came up out of the river, and they were eventually swallowed up by 7 thin, ugly cows. Then he had another dream. And there were nice, great big heads of grain, 7 of them, and then they were eaten up by 7 not-so-great, ugly, little, twangy, little, almost weed-like heads of grain. And so this really bothered Pharaoh. So, you know, he said, man, this is kind of crazy. So he called for his magicians and for his wise men to interpret the dream. But they couldn't do it. You know, they had no idea what the dreams meant. And then the chief butler, he remembered Joseph, and he spoke up. Remember back when you were upset with us and you put us in prison? Well, there's this guy named Joseph, and we had these dreams, and he interpreted them correctly. So after hearing that, you know, Pharaoh had Joseph brought up quickly from prison. He was cleaned up and brought before Pharaoh, and the word quickly, okay. Keep in mind that when God does something and he's ready to do it, it's quickly. He said, well, I'm going to take a couple days to get you out of prison. It was quickly. It was like, now, you know, get him out, get him up here. So they cleaned Joseph up, and, you know, he shaved and cleaned up, and he was presented before Pharaoh. So Pharaoh says, well, I heard that you can understand and interpret dreams. But Joseph said, well, God interprets the dreams. So Joseph wasn't taking credit for it himself. So Pharaoh, he tells Joseph about the dreams. And Joseph says, well, these two dreams are the same. Okay, they mean the same thing. And it says, there will be 7 years of great plenty. But after that, 7 years of famine so bad that you can forget about the first 7 years. And I suggest, Joseph told him, and he says that you appoint a guy, a wise man, to be over the land of Egypt and collect a fifth or 20% of all the produce of the land and store it up and get ready for the bad 7 years that's going to be coming. So Pharaoh says, well, wow, where in the world are we going to find a man like this man who has the Spirit of God? You know, so since, you know, God has shown you all these things, I'm going to make you ruler over my house. Okay, over my people, you know, over the whole country. Nobody shall be, you know, over you except me. So Pharaoh placed a signet ring on Joseph's hand, clothed him in, you know, nice clothing, you know, rode him in a chariot, the second chariot. So like Pharaoh and Joseph are riding in these two chariots through the street saying, bow the knee. So, you know, that was, you know, that sign of respect and showing that Joseph was a ruler. So everybody knew that Joseph was in charge. Okay, so think about this for a second. Okay, here he was in prison, you know, and, you know, beginning with being in charge of Potiphar's wife. Then he's in prison and was put in charge of the prison. And now Pharaoh sets him in charge over all the land of Egypt. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So God's timing is everything. Okay, his plans are our plans, and he knows what he's doing. So Pharaoh gives Joseph the name of Zephanath-Paneah and gave him a wife, to which he bore him two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And after the 7 years of plenty ended, the famine began. And then Joseph opened up the storehouse to sell to, you know, people that would come from other countries, as well as their own, you know. And so back in the land of Israel, Jacob sends 10 of his sons, and he's keeping Benjamin at home to buy grain. So when they get there, they bow down before Joseph, just like his dream, you know, way back when he was a little, you know, quite a bit younger. And he recognized them, but they didn't recognize Joseph. See, Joseph kind of spoke roughly to them, and because it had been years and years since they saw him, you know, they didn't know who he was, and he spoke to them through an interpreter, and he asked them where they were from, and when they told him, he says, "You're spies. You guys are spies. You're just coming here to see what we got, you know." And they said, no, we're not spies. We're not spies, you know. We were 12 brothers at one time at home with our father, and one of our brothers, he's gone. He's no more. He's dead. And, you know, but we have, you know, one other brother, you know. And Joseph said, "Nah, you're spies." And he put him in prison for 3 days. Finally, Joseph decides, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let all but, you know, one of you to go home. And he says, one of you is going to stay here. So they started talking to each other. Man, we're getting paid back now. You know, this is because what we did to Joseph. And Reuben, good old Reuben, he says, Didn't I tell you not to do anything to Joseph? You know, and now we're getting paid back because of what we did to him. But Joseph's understanding everything they're saying, you know. And so he went into another room for a moment, and he cried. You know, because he was upset that you know, his brothers were there, and, you know, they were reminiscing about what they'd done. But he's also seeing a change in their attitudes, you know, that they're, you know, they thought, well, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. So Joseph had Simeon bound in front of their eyes, and he had his slave or his steward put grain in their sacks, and put the money that they'd brought in the sacks as well. So they stopped for the night on the way home, and they opened their sacks and found money. And so they said, "Now what's going on? What's God doing to us? You know, are we getting paid back? You know, like, you know, what's going to happen now?" You know. So when they got home, they told Jacob all that had happened, and that they were told when they returned they have to bring Benjamin with them. And Jacob said, no. Joseph's gone. Now Simeon's gone. And now you want to take Benjamin too? No, it ain't going to happen. You know, so Judah says, well, I'll take responsibility for Benjamin's safety. And he was still reluctant to do anything until they ran out of food. And so they had to go back and get more food. But Judah said, no, we can't do it. We have to take Benjamin or it's no dice, no food. He won't even see us if we don't bring him. So he finally agreed, and they went back, and they stood before Joseph, and he saw Benjamin with them. And he told his servant to take them all to his home and make a feast, you know, for noon. So I guess it was great lunchtime. So Joseph asked about their health and the health of their father, and they told him all is well. And he says, oh, is this the younger brother you told me about? Well, of course he knew, you know, but he was just trying to cover up the idea that who he really was. And he said to Benjamin, God be gracious to you, my son. And he went in the other room and cried again because he was so happy to have all of his brothers there. Washed his face, and he came out and said, okay, serve the food. So Joseph sat at his own table, and the Egyptians sat at their table, and Joseph's brothers sat at their own table. And they're all put in order, their birth order, and they're kind of wondering, Wow, isn't it kind of strange that we're all in the order of our birth, and Benjamin being, you know, next to Joseph, more at the head of the table, and had five times more food than the rest of them, you know, but they hadn't quite figured out what was going on, you know, so they had a good time, you know, and the next day, Joseph sets his brothers up. All right, now's the time I'm gonna put my plan into action. So he tells his steward again, go fill their sacks with the grain, but put my silver divination cup in Benjamin's sack. You know, and no questions asked, so he did what he was told. So they sent out, you know, the next morning, and while they were not too far away, Joseph tells the steward, okay, go catch up with the men and overtake them and ask them how can they repaying, you know, evil for good. So when they got there, they told him, well, we didn't do anything. Why would we do such a thing? You know, if we've got the cup, whoever has the cup, that one will die and then we'll all be your slaves. So the steward said, nah, whoever has the cup will be my slave and the rest of you shall be blameless. So they searched and they found the cup in Benjamin's sack. So the brothers, you know, rent their clothes, you know, as, you know, Jews did when they were really upset about something, and they returned to the city. And Joseph said, didn't you guys know that I can figure stuff out? I can practice divination. I knew what you did. I knew you had it. And Judah said, well, what can we say? You know, I mean, we had the cup. So we'll all be your slaves. Joseph said, no. Just Benjamin's going to be my slave. You all go home and go to your father in peace. That's where the parasha ends. Nice little cliffhanger. So to find the rest, stay tuned till next time. So what can we take away today? Think about this. Joseph was with two condemned people. Okay, one was given death and the other was pardoned and restored. Yeshua was crucified with two others. They both died, but one was given eternal life. There were 7 years of famine in the land, and there will be 7 years of tribulation. Joseph was basically a savior of his family and all the land. Yeshua is savior of everybody. Ephraim and Manasseh came through a Gentile wife and full status as Jews, and full tribal status. And the Gentiles who believe in Yeshua are gathered into Abraham's seed and are full members of God's people. And we know Yeshua was totally and completely sinless. Joseph, oddly enough, is one of those written about in the scriptures to where no sin of his is ever recorded. All knees were devoted to Joseph, and all knees will bow to Yeshua. Joseph had the power to do whatever he wanted with his brothers. He literally had the power of life and death over him. And so does Yeshua. Yeshua is coming back. Revelation 22:12. Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all the people according to their deeds. And Yeshua will have mercy on all those who are his. John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Shabbat shalom.